The following program is presented by the Far East Broadcasting Company because stories of people living out the gospel with their lives inspire all of us. FEBC, taking Christ to the world through radio and new media. Learn more at febc.org.
What a beautiful vision and purpose that as a Roman citizen I am believer in Christ. I pray that Christ can use me to bear fruit to the glory of God.
Join us now as we meet a pastor living in Italy who has a unique vantage point on early Christian history. You meet Corrado Primavera. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Welcome to First Person. We'll turn our attention to our guests in a moment. First, a special thank you to the Far East Broadcasting Company for their support in making this program possible. Learn more about FEBC's mission of taking Christ to the world by radio and new media at febc.org. And you may not know that you can download these interviews and take them with you on the go by using our smartphone and tablet app, First Person Interview. Available free in your app store, use this tool to download and listen at your convenience. Just search for First Person Interview in your app store. Our friend Michael Card is the person who introduced me to Corrado Primavera, a pastor living in Rome who is an academically trained historian. In the place where he lives, this pastor is often reminded of the struggle of the early church and the trials that Paul faced there. We spoke via the internet recently, and I commented to Corrado that he sees more in Rome than the average tourist.
Yes, and it becomes easier even in this period of time because we don't have tourists coming in this period of time. So it becomes...
You got rid of those pesky tourists, huh?
It becomes even easier. Yes, absolutely. A follower of Christ and even as a passionate for the church history, for history of Christianity that basically is the work of God through the centuries and generation by generation. Walking through Rome, yes, I have many landmarks, because especially in the historical district in the downtown of Rome, we move from the ancient ruins of Rome where the Christianity started even before the Apostle Paul was there. And then we still keep walking. And it's a kind of a walk through the history of a church because you see a church to the left, another landmark to the right, places that have stories of believers, opponent to the gospel, the power of papacy and all these kind of events that really shape the history of the Western culture. And so many times I moved, even tried to picture in my mind that event, that situation, and really to me, walking through Rome, it's a walk through the history of Christianity from the beginning, the first century AD, up to today. And I've been many times to the Colosseum, many times to the Forum, many times to St. Peter's Square, visiting even the beautiful things that we can see inside of the Vatican museums. And I try to look at those things to see the evidence of the walk through of Christians, of the witness of Jesus, of the witness of the event through history. And here is an anecdote very interesting that happened just this past year before COVID closed and locked down many museums. I walked through the Vatican museums in the Stanza della Signatura is the famous room painted by Raphael Sanzio, the famous School of Athens with all the philosophers displayed there. On the opposite of that wall is the Triumph of the Church. So all saints, all popes, are painted on that wall. Interesting, Raphael painted that room around the 1509. He was there along with Michelangelo that was working the Sistine Chapel. And he worked since then in those rooms for the Pope Julius II. And so he painted this beautiful room that tourists all look around, the beautiful, the color, the characters, and so on. But underneath, just finished the painting of the triumph of the church, on the wall, you can see a kind of graffiti, probably made with the top of a sword or a knife, and follow that graffiti. You slightly can see that. You see an L-U-T-H-E-R, Luther. The name of Luther in the room of the Pope.
Wow.
So things like this are very interesting.
And it certainly
took me soon back to that, what happened in 1527, when the German soldier, under the authority of the Emperor Charles V, that was a Catholic emperor, but the Germans came down to Rome and put Rome under sack. The interesting thing, these soldiers were Lutheran. And so once they found this soldier, probably because it was maybe a company of one or two, three soldiers just taking that time to do that graffiti.
Yeah.
And they found themselves in the hub of the papacy.
Wow.
And I start thinking, what in the world these two, three soldiers stop for a moment in that turmoil and say, hey, come on, let's write the name of Luther in the house of the Pope.
What a great story. And that's a good example of what we would miss on our own when we come to Italy and view all the wonderful things we see there. But you understand the biblical history. And I want to talk more about some of those examples in a few moments. But you understand this as a pastor who trained at Dallas Theological Seminary in Texas.
Yeah.
But you also have an advanced degree in history from the University of Rome.
Yeah.
So you bring those things together. You're a pastor of a local church there in Rome now, so you have a heart for the gospel. Tell me your story of coming to Christ. Did you grow up in a Christian family? When did you come to the Lord?
I grew up in a very traditional Italian Christian family. That means basically going to the church on Christmas, at baptism of newborn baby, and maybe the first communion, because it was one of the great events in the life of a kid, and at the funeral of some relatives. So maybe four or five times per year. Mm-hmm. I still remember that really impressed my mind. At the wedding of one of our relatives, I was a kid. My uncle, we are back in the 70s, and it was a huge thing in Italy in that period of time. He stand for the left party, politically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So basically that meant he didn't believe in religion, okay, in the Catholic Church. And so although he was attending that event, a very family event, you know, the wedding, he didn't walk into the church. He stayed outside. And so this was the use. Now today things changed, but this was the use to many people not to say, no, I don't walk into the church. And so to me, growing with that family meant that the church was just an institution. It was there representing God, and you can go there just if you need it, you need it. When I became teenager, in my neighborhood came a mission team from Greater Europe Mission, and they set up one of those evangelistic tents. You know, they set up the tent, stay there doing this crusade for about 1 or 2 weeks, and my family was rich in that period of time. So I got connected with some other young people in my neighborhood that also, like me, were gathered together for some youth activities. This was the very first time I was exposed to the gospel, to heard the Bible taught in a new way that I never heard about. It was not about church as an institution. It was about God's word. And so I did that for a couple of years. Then growing up, I was more attracted by my peers from schools because they were organizing parties and you know, these things that kids in their 18 years old, they start to do, you know, pretending to be older than that, more like adult.
That's true. Yes. Worldwide, of course.
Yes. And you know, God sowed the seed of his word in my heart. And because one of those young people that I knew, these young friends from the youth activities, came to me to invite me at a youth retreat. And I was 18 years old that time. And I attended that retreat because I liked those friends. So no problem with that. Spent 3 days with them. But once back in my house, in my room, actually, by myself, I felt a strong call to take a decision what kind of life I want to live. With friends from schools, all about parties, that's life, or not those kind of lifestyle based on the gospel. And it was that day that I made a decision to follow Christ without any other invitation. I can say God's invitation.
Yes, yes.
And I start attending the closest evangelical church, Bible preaching church in my neighborhood. And since then, I kept walking in the path of Jesus. And that took me to become a pastor, doing so many other activities through the stages of life. You know, now I am in my 50s, so things a little bit changed.
Yeah. We'll continue to get to know this delightful pastor who lives in Rome, coming up in a moment here on First Person.
1 year ago, I heard that one of FABC's radio stations aired in our province, so I started to listen.
Just one of millions of grateful people who listens to the Far East Broadcasting Company in her own language.
So many Kazakh people here like listening to your radio broadcast, and we feel like a family because of it. Thank you so much for broadcasting to our nation.
FEBC is dedicated to taking Christ to the world through radio and new media. To learn more, please visit febc.org. That's febc.org. My guest is Pastor Corrado Primavera from Rome here on First Person. And Pastor, tell me about the church that you are pastor of. Is it right in the heart of Rome?
Actually, at the present, it's, let me say, on the board tour the downtown of Rome. Our first facility was a very heart of Rome, nearby the Parliament House, nearby the Pantheon, and still is there, is an English-speaking community facility. Actually, is the Rome Baptist Church. It was planted by the Southern Baptist Mission in Rome back in the 60s. And the pastor there, good friend of mine, was so generous to host us for our first meetings. After 5 years, we were able to move out from that facility and move in our own facility that is not so far from there, but let me say 4 subways stops.
Okay, all right. If I ever have the opportunity to return to Rome, I'm going to come to church. I want to come to your church. I want to meet you in person. And I also want you to tell me more stories of the early history of Christianity in Rome, because you understand it like few other people. And we've had other conversations about this over the past couple of years. But one of the most popular tourist sites, of course, is the Colosseum.
Yeah.
Everybody goes to Rome, has to see the Colosseum. Yeah. It's a very impressive site. Very impressive tours are available there. But you have a different look on the Colosseum that I want us to understand. So let's begin there, can we?
Absolutely. Yes, it's a pleasure. I love that place, although I've been there several times. And even because of that, every time I have the opportunity to visit the Colosseum, I start usually to pay more attention to such brick or such graffiti, or try to search by myself something interesting. Of course, even after maybe have read some articles on that. For instance, one of the last things that was found on the third ring of arches in the Colosseum is a letter T in red. So they use some red ink to make that inscription. It's a T and a clear sign that is related to Christians. For many times, there was this debate between historians and even tourists sometimes. So from more educated culture to just tourist culture, if Christians were martyrized or not into the Colosseum. Let me start to say that the Colosseum was one of the many other stadiums in Rome, in ancient Rome, and was a very unique stadium belonging, owned by the emperor, because it was the family of the emperor, the Flavian family, that actually invested money into that building. But of course, generation of emperors after emperors, stadiums like the Colosseum were commonly used even to martyrize Christians. What happened?
Didn't you tell me one time that the Colosseum was built from the proceeds of the sacking of Jerusalem?
Oh, yes, yes, absolutely. Yes, that happened. The Flavians, there were the two emperors, first Vespasian, then Titus, his older son, were in Jerusalem in the 70s. When Vespasian was called to be back in Rome and appointed as the next emperor after Nero. So Titus was still stayed in Jerusalem, and it was he that destroyed the city and the temple, taking back into Rome 20,000 Jews as slaves that were sold. And with the money that they made out of that selling, they invested to pay for the construction of the Colosseum, along with the gold and silver taken from the city and, of course, even from the temple. There is this Arch of Titus at the entrance of the Roman Forum that has this relief in the inside walls of the arch, the triumphal arch, with this beautiful, I actually have to say, dramatic picture of the march, triumphal march, with the slaves, the Jews taken in Rome, and even they carry the menorah and the Jewish candlesticks and the shofars, the trumpets for the Jewish festival. Wow. And so
we miss so much when we come to Rome and don't understand these things. It really is amazing to hear you recount this. I interrupted you. You were talking about the Colosseum.
The letter T that actually the letter T means is an it's basically just a symbolic letter in Latin that means ad Taurus, and means throw these people to the bull, like in the Spanish corrida. But of course, these people were not professionals. Yes. the bull. And so basically it was one of the ways that Christians were actually martyrized into the Colosseums.
They were thrown to the bulls.
Yeah. At the bestias was another way, that means to the wild beast, like lions or tigers. Mm. And it was not systematically, but that's what happened. Christians, for a long period of time in Rome, were considered unpleasant people because their lifestyle made uncomfortable the other
people. Yes, right.
That was the main point. And because of
persecution,
exactly, started so many persecution against Christians.
Well, Rome is replete with these stories, and we've only just barely scratched the surface. We could talk for hours about these things, and maybe someday we can, but I want you to think and speak to me personally as a believer in the Lord, living where you live, and what scripture comes alive for you? What are you thinking about from the Word right now that touches your heart?
Well, maybe because I live in Rome, the many passages from the letter to the Romans touch my heart. And I maybe because I was just reading shortly a few days ago the introduction to that letter and the passion that the Apostle Paul wrote about, to say I am eager to come and share with you life, share with you my spiritual gift. And so what a beautiful vision and purpose that God put in the heart of the Apostle Paul, but not just Paul. Paul represents a disciple of Jesus that receive passion to bear fruit to the glory of God. And so reading that, you know, we are, as a Roman citizen I and believer in Christ, I pray that Christ can use me to bear fruit to the glory of God.
I'm very thankful for the connection with this pastor who has a tremendous heart for the Lord. Once again, his name is Corrado Primavera, and if I ever get back to Rome, I look forward to walking the city with him and learning more about the early church. Please visit our website for more, firstpersoninterview.com. There you'll also find a schedule of upcoming interviews, plus you can click on the Listen button to explore the archive of past programs. And I'd like to take a moment to thank our friends and supporters at the Far East Broadcasting Company who make these weekly interviews possible. The gospel message is so important, and FEBC is doing all it can to make sure that as many people as possible hear the Word of God and are pointed to Christ. Taking Christ to the world through radio and new media is the mission of FEBC, and millions of lives in dozens of countries are touched each year as a result. Please take a few moments to learn more, watch the videos, listen to the audio clips online at FEBC. That's FEBC.org. Now, with thanks to my friend and producer Joe Carlson, I'm Wayne Shepherd. Thanks for listening to First Person.